Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Well, the last few months we've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we left off last time in the middle of chapter 10. The closing chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes are just an assortment of proverbs and wisdom sayings that are observations of the way life tends to go. It's not the way life always goes, but generally speaking, this is the way life tends to go. And a wisdom principle or a proverb is an observation of how things tend to go that comes in handy when it comes to making wise decisions in life. So that's why it's important to learn wisdom. And there are about eight of them in this chapter. We looked at half of them last time, the first four. One of them was, when someone gets mad at you, remain calm. That's a good wisdom principle. Number two, expect trouble in life so that you can prepare for it and roll with the punches when it happens. Number three, sharpen your axe. Do some preparation. Get some training. Do some planning. Work smart. Have some systems in your life. And then number four, use your axe. Don't just sharpen your axe, but sometimes you need to know when it's time to stop planning and stop preparing and stop training and spring into action, actually do something before it's too late. So those are the first four. The fifth one we come to today in verse 12. So take a look at verse 12. It says, the words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, but the lips of a fool swallow him up. The beginning of the words of his mouth is folly, and the end of his speaking is evil madness. Yet the fool multiplies words. Think for a second of the three wisest people you know, whoever they are, just the people that are really wise that you know. Of those three, how many of them are chatterboxes? Any? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if in this whole room, this number of people, multiplied times three, all the people we thought, these wise people we thought of, if not a single one of them is somebody who's known for just being a motor mouth. Why? Because when you gain wisdom, one of the first things you learn is that no matter how wise you are, there's a fair percentage of the things that are going to come out of your mouth that are dumb, right? It's just a given. It's going to happen. And so wise people know the best way to reduce the number of dumb things you say is by reducing the total number of things you say altogether. And so they don't talk that much. Not only that, but wise people are also the type that they tend to think before they speak. And instead of just blurting out whatever thoughts pop into their head, they actually process them first because they know that rarely does anyone ever blurt out wisdom. To say something wise, to say something worthwhile, requires some thought. And so many times it requires so much thought that by the time you think all that through, the conversation's already over, long over, or the subject has been changed. And so now you can't say anything. See, if you're wise enough to actually think before you speak, then so often you don't even get a chance to speak because you spend all that time thinking. That's another reason why wise people, they tend to talk less than fools, because they think before they speak. Now, semi-foolish people will think while they're speaking. Fully foolish people speak instead of thinking. This is flow of words just never stops. This is what the way they are. So Plato was right. He said, wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something. Right? So, and the result of all these words is they swallow him up. Verse 12, they get him in trouble. All those words just become this huge pit that the fool falls into. Many people, they're ruining their life, not by drinking too much alcohol, not by gambling all their money away, not by getting hooked on drugs, but by chattering their way into constant trouble. If you talk a lot, you say, there's a lot of things that you're going to say that are going to cause you trouble. Some of the stuff that's going to come out of your mouth, it's going to be gossip. It's just going to be. That's the way it is. That's reality. And some of the stuff that's going to come out of your mouth is going to be exaggeration or some form of dishonesty. And some of the stuff that's going to come out of your mouth will reflect misinformation. And some of it will end up being the wrong word at the wrong time. And you'll walk away thinking, why can't I keep my big mouth shut? You know, and every one of us does that. We all say dumb things. We all say dishonest things. We all say hurtful things. We all say incorrect things. We all say poorly timed things, all of us. And so the more we talk, the more of those things end up being said, and the more trouble we cause for ourselves, and it swallows us up. It's a pit that we fall into. Our words make people mad at us. They make people think we're stupid. They make people not trust us. They make people treat us poorly. And it just causes all these problems for the fool. But the fool, the stream of words just keeps on coming until all his relationships are ruined and he loses his job. He gets fired and one problem after another because he won't shut his mouth. But he doesn't learn. That's the thing he says in the rest of the verse there. He says in verse 14, yet the fool multiplies words. It's killing him. I mean, his words are killing him, and yet he can't stop. He can't stop talking. And in many cases, fools do that because they always think they know what's going to happen. They think they got the future figured out. They don't understand all the variables that exist in life. And so they come up with these simplistic plans and assume everything's going to go as planned. It's like listening to your 14-year-old describe his plans for his life, you know? He's like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to have, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I'm going to do that, that, and that. And you're sitting there listening like, there's like 12 parts of that plan that you just said that will probably go wrong. And any one of them is going to throw the whole thing off. But they don't know that. See, until you gain some wisdom, you just don't know any better. You think everything's going to happen according to plan because you know the future. But you don't. And that's verse 14. No one knows what will happen. And who can tell him what will happen after him? You don't know. Nobody else you know knows. When wise people make plans, they take into account the possibility that things might not go as expected, and they work that right into their plan. This is part of wisdom. The fools are like the guy in James 4. It says, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go to this city or that city, spend a year there, do business, make money. It's all going to happen. It's all going to fall into place. And they boast about that. They think they got it all figured out, and they assure everyone around them, oh, yeah, I know. It'll happen. Trust me. I know. That's why fools so often spend money they don't have. Because they get into deficit spending in their life because they think they know the future. They think they know how things are going to turn out. Oh, I got this job. It's wrapped up. It's a done deal. Done deal. The guy at the interview, he made it clear. The job is mine if I want it. I'm no problems. And so I went and signed the papers on buying a new truck today. You know, because with the new job, I'll easily be able to afford these payments. And they're so quick. Fools are so quick to think things are a done deal because everybody's nodding their head and saying yes. And the wise man has learned enough times where, okay, it's not a done deal until it's actually done. Okay, first what you do is you sign the papers, and then you actually show up for work and make sure it's going to work out, and then actually work for a while and then get a paycheck and then start spending it. But the fool blathers on and on about how sure he is about the future, and all that blathering digs him into a hole that very often he can't climb out of. That's what it's like to be a fool. His words swallow him up, just causes so many problems in life. And some of you hear all that, you think, oh, okay, that's it. I'm never talking again. I'm done. And especially those of you who don't like to talk. There's some of you that you love this sermon. You hear a sermon like this about don't talk so much, and you're like, awesome. That's great. Because I don't like talking, you know. Maybe you're the type, it's hard for you to put your thoughts into words, or you're shy, or you're introverted, or quiet, or whatever. And so you're saying, oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. I love this. Next time my wife starts badgering me about wanting to talk, I'm just going to say, I'm being wise, and I'll just go back to the TV, you know. Some of you, talking is a lot of work, and especially if you're tired, you know, it's just a lot of work. And so the idea of not talking sounds great to you. But see, that's not wisdom either. The wise people don't do that either. Look at verse 12 again. Look how it starts. He said, the words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious. He's got words coming out of his mouth, right? They're gracious. That word, the ESV says, the words of the wise man win him favor. It can be translated either way, gracious or wins him favor. But either way, he's talking, right? I think the ESV gets it right. Wins him favor, I think, makes the best sense here because of the second half of the verse. It's a contrast. The fool digs himself a pit and it causes him all kinds of problems. Wise man's words are the opposite of that. Instead of swallowing him up, wins him favor. Wins him favor with people and with God. So the wise man, he talks. He doesn't just clam up. He talks. And his words do him good. See, sometimes you just need to speak up. It's wise to talk sometimes. You say, when are those times? How do I know when those times are? Well, usually they're those times you don't want to speak up. And you can typically tell when those times are because all the fools finally go silent. Right? Like those moments when somebody just gossiped and nobody's standing up for the person that was gossiped about. That's when the fools go silent. Those moments when God's name has just been blasphemed and something needs to be said. Those moments when somebody has just propagated an unbiblical doctrine and everybody in the room is being led astray and no one's speaking up. Those moments when there's a problem, it needs to be addressed, but nobody's speaking up because everybody in the room knows whoever speaks up is going to have to take some responsibility and take some leadership, and nobody wants that. It's those moments when somebody's really hurting and they need a word of encouragement from God's Word, but the fools are silent because they don't know God's Word well enough to know how to encourage this person. Those times when your wife needs someone to talk to, she needs you to share your soul with her and for her, you to listen to her, but you're just tired and frankly just rather surf the web or something. Those are the moments when wise people speak up and fools clam up. And just as the fools run into all kinds of trouble because of their words, wise people gain all kinds of benefits because of their words. This will help you in life. Things will go better for you in many, many ways if you learn to speak wisely. So the tongue is a good barometer of your life. Just like a doctor can look at your tongue and diagnose physical problems, you can do the same thing with spiritual problems. You can diagnose your heart with your tongue, with your speech. If you want to live a life of wisdom, you'll never stop doing that. You'll never stop examining your tongue because this is an area we don't ever get a control of, right? Nobody ever gets a handle on their tongue perfectly. That's what James says in James 3. He says, if anyone could ever do that, he'd be a perfect man. Because it's the easiest way to sin. And so if there's the slightest trace of sin in your heart, it'll be evidenced in your tongue. You should always be examining our speech to find out what's wrong inside. Always. Paul Tripp put it well in his book, War of Words. He says, listen to the talk that goes on in your home. How much of it is impatient and unkind? How often are words spoken out of selfishness and personal desire? How easily do outbursts of anger occur? How often do we bring up past wrongs? How do we fail to communicate hope? How do we fail to protect in our words? How often do our words carry threats that we've had it and we're about to quit? Stop and listen, and you will see how much we need to hold our talk to this standard of love and how often the truth we profess to speak has been distorted by our sin. There's no better test of the heart than the mouth. Do you have a problem with talking too much or too little? Most people have both. Most people talk too much when they should talk less, and then they talk not enough when they should speak up. Examine your life for a moment and ask yourself, in what areas do I need to speak more? And in what areas do I need to speak less? And it might help to ask some folks that are close to you, see if they have some insights for you. I hope you can make it back tomorrow when we'll be talking about the fatigue that comes when you don't have a clear direction in your life. And we'll talk about how to get that direction and make a plan. So, see you then. This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com. Or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.